This is Radio City Talk.
You're listening to Radio City Talk at full time with Matt Jones. And as you know, we like to talk about new music when it's on the way. And Turin Breaks have got their eighth album. It's coming out on the 26th of January and it's called Invisible Storm. I'm delighted to be joined by them. Christian Bragg's in the studio as well for our new music feature. But hello to Turin Breaks.
Hello.
Hi.
It's great to have you on. So your eighth album, it's coming out, as I say, on Friday. It's called Invisible Storm. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's our eighth album. What did we do? We made it quite a while ago at Rockfield Studios in Wales. And we've just been sitting impatiently waiting to put it out, basically.
It's kind of the third part of our triptych, which started in Rockfield Studios with an album called We Were Here. And then part two was another one from Rockfield called, the last one, which is called Lost Property. And this is like the final piece of the puzzle.
Not self-produced, then?
It is. It's co-produced with Ali Staton, who did the last two albums. So basically it's the sort of third of three with Ali co-producing. But yeah, the band and Al between us come up with all the ideas and the plans. Some, you know, so we live or die by it, you know.
Do you prefer to record that be on the road, or you're, is it more of a studio band? What do you prefer?
You kind of, they're both parts of it are really very satisfying. Like, you know, recording and writing is a kind of a nice head process. You get to kind of try a lot of stuff out in the studio, kind of make new sounds and imagine how things might be, which is, you know, very nice, as well as express yourself.
I think that's my favourite bit, is that, like, is the bit just before you've finished making the record. So you've sort of done all the hard work and you're just into fantasy land sort of world where all, anything's possible, and you're kind of just finishing things off, and it's really, that's a lovely place to be. And we managed to squeeze that out for a really long time on this record, that moment. but then on the flip side, like the touring is like, it's, as Gail has said recently to me, it's instant gratification stuff. Like it's you can't really beat it. You know, you make a noise and people react, and that's,
it's very addictive.
Amazing.
I think if you stop doing it for a while, it's, you definitely miss it and think, hang on a minute, where's the point in this? Yeah, yeah, where's the buzz coming? Where's my buzz coming from? Mm. You know, and because we're all just a load of, you know, nice boys and, you know, clean living, you know, there's no buzz unless we do gigs, you know, so you're not going to, unless we take up extreme sports, and cricket isn't extreme. I play cricket, so that's not quite extreme enough unless there's a fast bowler on, and then it feels quite extreme.
It depends what you're playing with.
Exactly. I mean, someone is bowling, throwing a ball at your face at like 100 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah. Would you prefer it if the ball was lit? The whole thing was, or would, maybe your cricket bat could be on fire.
Yeah, maybe that's the new way.
But
well,
they,
I think
set
they
set your shoes on fire.
The shoes on fire.
I believe they're going to do that in the T20 matches. You know,
to get the audience share up.
Set the shoes on fire, and the ball's going to be lit up with like
the
a flaming
shoes
torch.
On fire.
Yeah, cricket sounds like a good choice of sport to me anyway, guys. Well, you talk about touring. You've got a 16-date UK tour starting on the 8th of March. The closest you come to us here in Liverpool is on the 21st when you play the Cathedral in Manchester. How excited are you to get back on the road?
Oh, very, very excited. I mean, it's been a little while. We've done a lot more touring in recent years because there's been a real buzz at the shows again, like it's just kind of built back up, and I think we've gotten better as a live band actually in the last few years as well.
We seem to have somehow become quite good. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just doing 10,000 hours of,
that's true,
of playing.
Yeah.
I think that probably helps. So yeah, and that gig in the Cathedral should be amazing, I think.
Oh, last one there was incredible. I would just, yeah, it, there's not a lot better venues in Manchester for us, I reckon, than that one. It's about perfect.
I think I seen you in Manchester maybe about 6 years ago, like a very stripped down set at the Arts College. It was really intimate. It was really, really
good.
Yeah,
with three of us.
Yeah.
With a keyboard player.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I remember.
Oh,
that.
My goodness.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
that
was. Yeah. I was thinking you had Roger Manning on keyboards on the day.
Well, funnily enough, we had Dave Palmer, who is an American, a brilliant sort of piano playing, synthesizing kind of guy, and he We actually got him back to play some stuff on this new record, so there's a funny link there. We hadn't seen him for a good few years, and we kind of crossed paths again and got him to play on this new record. So that same guy is kind of got on quite a bit of this new record.
We're talking about the new record. Is it the synths? I mean, you've always had a really good selection of synths. And I was honestly listening to Don't Know Much, and it very reminiscent of the Rolling Stones in vibe and the atmospherics behind it. Who are you listening to these days?
The Rolling Stones.
We've been listening to the Stones for a bit. It's funny, we did talk a little bit. Me and Gail had a few conversations. It'd be good if there are a couple of like Stonesy tracks on this one. And that's all we said. But
weirdly,
it did seem to happen.
Weirdly. I was reading a Stones biography when we were at Rockfield at the recording sessions, and I've read another one since then as well. So it's
came
really,
out.
Yeah, totally.
It came out.
It really reminded me of something like, you know, like Waiting on a Friend or something like that. Just the vibe of it all, but the synths, phenomenal sound to them, very atmospheric. It's becoming more again prominent in music. I mean, you've always dipped in and out. Was it a conscious decision on this album?
I mean, the synths kind of on that, they're one of the most, they're kind of an organic thing, along with guitars, which is what we're kind of trying to do all the time, considering that a lot of music is made on laptops, and even, you know, we even make music on laptops, but we've kind of chosen to not do that. So the synths are generally stuff that you play or on this record that you can generally play or sing into and manipulate with your fingers. So the main inspiration is kind of the organic nature of it, really, rather than kind of making an ode to the Stones or something like that. I mean, as time carries on, the more you play a guitar, the more you're going to sound like the Stones, because people like music's kind of changing every sort of decade.
Well, actually, listening to the song, don't take this the wrong way. The opening lines, the lyrics reminded me it could have been written for Stranger Things, although not in the right period of the 80s with the Upside Down and everything.
That was because basically that was what my kids were completely obsessed with when I wrote that song. They were. That's all they spoke to me about was Stranger Things and the Upside Down. And so it just turned up in the beginning of the song because I thought, well, that's the scene. That's what's setting the scene for this song. And I just like the idea of sort of everything.
Well, like you said, it reminded me of the Stones, but the synth in the background, I thought, this is a bit Stranger Thing. And then the lyric, I thought, no, is there any connection there?
Yeah, there is a direct connection.
It's kind of always been our thing to be influenced by a load of stuff, and you know, you kind of pull it together by accident when you start making your own attempts at stuff.
Yeah, know? I mean, usually what starts a song off is basically what just sounds cool to you. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like if singing "Life Inside the Upside Down, You're Always on the Run" feels cool, you'll probably write the rest of the song because it feels cool. And I think we've always been that kind of band that don't. We don't necessarily edit that out, that stuff. Like, that's part of the magic is the ambiguous kind of funny headspace you were in when you came up with that first line. And I always trust that that's going to translate, at least emotionally, maybe not intellectually, but emotionally to the listeners. And well, I don't know, I've noticed that it has done for the last 18 years. So that's kind of our method.
Well, it sounds great. It really does. I just want to mention Wait as well on the new album, which is a fantastic track. Tell us a little bit about that one.
It's very kind of, it's like, ooh, it's very sort of upbeat and in your face and pumping for a cheering break. You know, generally, most of the stuff we're known for is probably a bit less full on than Wait. But it's us doing a real kind of poppy pop song, I guess.
I guess it's pretty indie, really. Indie
yeah,
pop sound.
I mean, what we call pop is still pretty indie compared to what real pop is. Yeah. But you know, for us, it's the same mentality. We did a track years ago called Painkiller that did, you know, that sort of did all right. And it's from that same kind of area, I think.
It's brilliant stuff. And the album, as I say, Invisible Storm, out on January the 26th. And if you do want to see the guys, the closest they are to Liverpool, the Cathedral in Manchester on the 21st of March. Best of luck with the new album. And thanks so much for joining us on Radio City Talk this afternoon, guys.
Anytime.
Thanks very much, guys.
This is Radio City Talk.